Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to the After Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Brian Brushwood.
That's a fact. He told the truth.
And Justin Diamondback Robert Young.
Yep. You thought you were the only one, Brian. Turns out we're brothers.
Really excited.
Diamond in the back, sun rooftop, chilling in the scene with a gangster lean.
Gentlemen.
Yep.
A question for you.
Yep.
There has been more and more of these everywhere I look in Los Angeles. Escape rooms. Just everybody wants to get into a room and then escape it. If you're not familiar with the concept, what it is it's a room. You go in there and it's filled with a bunch of puzzles. You go in there with some friends, hopefully, and you have a time limit, usually an hour, to try to solve the clues. Like maybe something in the painting is telling you there's a clue in the book and you got to go through the book and find the page. And then you got to break open the chair leg and get the key to get out. So there are a bunch of these, the different themed ones. In Los Angeles, we have ones that have like themes like zombie themes. We have ones that are like Cold War bunker. There's just a new one I just saw, which is like a kind of a wizard themed one. So it's become a very big form of entertainment. Question number one, have either one of you guys ever done an escape room?
I have. It was a lot of fun. It was great to do it with some fairly competitive people. It's like very quickly the mixed group of, I think we had four or five girls, four or five boys, like all of a sudden you could tell the people who cared very deeply and the people who were just like, just tell me what you want me to sort or do or look for or whatever. It's a lot of fun.
I have not, although oddly, because of my former profession as a game designer and executor, I was around a lot of them. They really kind of exploded in popularity around the time that I started at the Go Game, and where they used to be these kind of like, initially when I first heard of escape rooms in San Francisco, it was almost like Cirque du Soleil or something. It was this very art. I can't believe that the circus is in town and it's only going to be around for 2 weeks. So everybody needs to go to it. And now, holy crap, Andrew, you are correct, man. This thing has just blown up, and not only are the businesses permanent, but they are exploding. You know, there's so many of them. I was lucky enough to be able to work with an escape room in Indianapolis to set up our pop-up shop for the Contender during Gen Con, and I sat there for 4 days. I talked a lot about escape rooms, but we never got a chance to go in there and do it ourselves.
Are we seeing a trend towards just, is this kind of a new form of entertainment that's going to keep expanding and be around for a while? And what I mean by that is escape rooms are really interesting business models because you have an attraction. It's something to go do. It's not that expensive compared to something else. If you wanted to start a business or some sort of entertainment thing, it's expensive. But the escape room, you take a space, you get some props, you can put some money into it, but then you can go in and you can create this thing as long as the gameplay is really cool. And that's sort of a kind of a really cool thing. We're in an environment where we're moving certainly towards augmented reality and virtual reality and all this stuff. But here's this big pop-up trend. This thing could have existed 20 years ago. There's nothing about it other than the power of the internet to help you find an audience.
So I've got some crazy, specious guesses on why they're bigger now.
Go on.
I think that over the past 10 years, a lot of the stories that we have heard are about all of the businesses that are no longer viable as physical entities. And specifically, you've seen retail, right? You know, or the ability for people to create smaller, more agile businesses that can be run out of their own home. That now, unless you're really at a certain level of productivity, you might not even need an office, right? So you've got a lot of these places that are already built, these real estate spots that are a little bit less expensive than they would have been a few years ago. And now you have, things that are novel or in the zeitgeist that can fill them. The escape room, for all the reasons that you mentioned, are for what you know, they are specifically fairly high ticket, you know, it's probably going to cost you more to run a, or to be in an escape room, let's say, or competitive with, let's say, a laser tag facility, right? And that obviously costs a lot more to set up and run and usually needs a lot more real estate than an escape room does. And yet people are happy. You know, you stimulate a little piece of them that by the end of it, they feel very excited that they spent an hour in what would essentially be a fairly large office, you know, maybe with a closet and a bathroom attached to it. You know, for example, the escape room that we were at in Indianapolis was literally just a law office space that they had repurposed into, you know, a control room, a back room, a physical, like actually do stuff, administrative office, and then three or four escape rooms that they were able to put into it. So I think repurposing old real estate and the fact that they've just hit that business magical formula of fairly low overhead, fairly high price per experience, it just seems like those are the seeds, at least to a former magic blogger.
So I love that's your self-granted title from now on is former magic blogger. I am surprised. I mean, I'm not surprised at their success. I think it's the right idea that does very, very well. But I am surprised that it hasn't been gobbled up by VR virtualization of the experience, right? It seems like the hardest part is writing the narrative of it, and you could bother to actually put up plywood and paint it black and pretend it's the bottom, you know, a submarine at the bottom of the ocean or whatever. Or you could pay a programmer or an artist, have them put together an actual submarine that looks like it's at the bottom of the ocean, and everybody hops in on the Vive and talks to each other, solves the puzzles, and gets out that way. I gotta feel like the virtual escape room experience, you know, as a $2 ticket price for you and five other friends to you know, all log in and hop in on your Oculus Rift or whatever, just seems like it's gonna, I don't know, take off and supplant a lot of the popularity that we're having.
Maybe at some point. But I mean, Brian, I think that you would agree that there are few people in the world that are more VR right now, VR for everybody forward as we are.
Sure,
right?
sure.
But it's there are still a lot of restrictions. You know, even to the Vive, for the Vive is great in a room, right? But the Vive is still kind of a literal death trap where you're moving around with your feet, and if you are not, you know, very careful, you're going to fall down.
Sure.
The escape room is ready now with some elbow grease and ingenuity.
That's true.
You can build that experience right now. And in the future, will it be a different thing? Yeah, maybe. I mean, well, there's already VR theme parks where they solve a lot of the problems with the Vive now by putting a battery on your back, you know, and build physical barriers that then coincide with a room scale experience. And sure, those are apparently amazing and great, but that's more along the lines of the bowling alley laser tag route, where now you are investing a lot of money and you are pushing the edge of what you can do technologically. Whereas this is, hey, did your law office go out of business? Now it's a Russian interrogation room, and you got to figure out which vial poured into which thing unlocks the safe with the scotch that they can get the key that gets you out of the room.
And I think that part of the reason is that, one, it's cost. I mean, it's a lot cheaper. Like the scenario you described, Brian, is a great way to create, you know, a video game for that. But if you have the money to develop that, then you don't really need to have a destination where people go do it.
Sure.
I think part of it is because it's not a video game. I think part of it is because it's unplugged. I think part of it is because it is like, hey, let's go into this room and have a real experience. And real, obviously, this is a subjective term, but the idea of real when it's – we're not really in a Russian bunker. But the idea of let's do something different than just play a game. Let's unplug and have an experience. And I think that's, you know, why live concerts are still big. It's why live theater still has a lifespan to it. It's why comedy clubs are there. And those are all content that can arguably be delivered better through, you know, virtualization of some form.
Right.
And by the way, let's not forget that we are right about at that moment where all of these haunted houses are going to start to open up, right? Around the country, and specifically the big amazing ones that are in theme parks like in Universal Studios.
Well, who have you talked to?
What?
Who told you this?
That haunted houses are going to be opening
calendar
up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like so.
You heard it here first, folks.
That this is a way to take that a little bit of that haunted house experience. Like, it doesn't make it any. The fact that you know that this is put on by local people doesn't make it any less creepy and fun to give yourself over to the experience of walking through a haunted house, right? And that people are going to pay a lot of money for the privilege to go to Halloween Horror Nights this year. This is just a little, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of well-done haunted house DNA in well-done escape room, you know, things, except you can decouple it from the seasonal element and you can do it for a lot less overhead because, you know, hell, the escape room that I was at in Indianapolis at any given time running five different rooms at all concurrently needed a staff of five people there.
Wow.
You know, I gotta like and a manager.
Something kind of cool. I got to go to atmoseffects.com and they do these digital decorations. And I think that that's kind of a thing that we're going to get to is going to be sort of this hybridization in many ways of that. You know, video projectors are dirt cheap. You can get a video projector now for like $50. You can get materials and stuff to project them on. Atmos Effects is a company that makes these really creepy videos that you can play. So if you put, so let's say, a film or something on your window, you can have like a creepy ghostly girl that looks out through the window. You can do things like they have this amazing projection that will sit like you project onto jack-o'-lanterns and they come alive and, you know, like make sing and do stuff like that. So this is stuff that used to be kind of like, you know, relegated, you know, expensive theme park stuff. And now it's, anybody can sort of put the stuff together.
That's amazing. That looks so good.
Yeah. So what they were showing there was a video, like just basically like a TV display where you build a take a flat screen TV and make it look like a picture frame. You know, the really cool one, remember Brian, you got us the behind the scenes tour over at the Harry Potter land. And I remember walking up to like a portrait there and looking at the texture of the oil paint and going, man, it'd be really cool if this Porsche could come alive and move, and all of a sudden it moved.
I'm like, and then it did, yeah.
How'd it do that? Because they weren't using projection. They were using like high-end CRTs or something to get
Which you never see. I don't think I'm talking out of school. I just went and did the ride. The new one, unfortunately, uses LCD, and LCD sort of tips its hand a little bit because how it looks depends on what angle you're viewing it at, right?
Well, I mean, listen, I think that there's a lot of really, really good stuff. And I think to get back to the escape rooms, that's kind of the triumph. The triumph is that all this stuff you can pretty much get at Home Depot, like to use it Home Depot euphemistically. Like, it's all off the rack. There's nothing standing between you and creating an escape room other than the amount of money that it takes to get the space, to get the equipment, and the ingenuity to put together the puzzle. And here's the other cool thing is it's renewable because you can make, I mean, the one that we were at, they had five escape rooms. One was super easy. Four of them were like challenging that, you know, if you were not into it, it might take two go rounds. And one of them was like effing impossible. Like that they would have single digits, usually below five successful runs in a month. Right.
Right.
And so now it's stimulating that little puzzle part of your brain that's like, hey, we got to go back. We got to figure it out. We got 75% of the way through, or maybe it was 75%. Maybe it was 40%. You know, we have no idea. We got to go back again and we'll race through all the stuff that we did before. And now we'll retry it. In a lot of ways, it takes, you know, we think of laser tag as kind of the physical version of a video game, right? As a first person shooter. This is, you know, has a lot of that video game mentality. Sure, you might die, but get back in there, try it again.
Dude, speaking of which, out of the corner of my eye, I'm doing my best to listen to both of you guys, but I keep just looking at these amazing videos on Atmos Effects. Like, this is insane. The tutorials they give on how to, you know, make window stuff and how to project various stuff. This is could I just jump ahead and make this my pick?
Sure, if you want to steal my pick.
my pick is your pick. How about that?
I've actually got some of the screen material, just sort of a mesh material. I'm going to play around with my projector and see what that looks like. But yeah, I think check out their stuff. I've never seen it in person. The videos look great. the videos look amazing, but I mean, you look at the quality of that stuff and it's amazing what you can do.
And that's, that's ATMOSFX, Atmos FX.
Well, yeah. And I guess that's the crazy thing is that where we're at right now, like, all right, so off the rack, buy it for not an insane price kind of technology. Where would it be analogous to like theme park level? Like for example, if you had a great escape room, a really well done escape room with a few of those Atmos effects things that just brought, you know, popped a few moments here and again, like that is what year of being at a Disney World or a Universal Studios? 5 years ago, 6 years ago,
oh, dude, 7 years ago? 7 years ago, it would have been the top of the line. It would have been better than the top of the line things. And now you can do this.
Like, so you can put it anywhere, right? Which gives you such an advantage because you can just have curtains fall down and now all of a sudden somebody's banging on it, right? And if you have the right sound effects and you got the right visual, that is real because people aren't expecting it because it's cheaper.
Right.
You know, like that's why I think we see this stuff.
Dude, actually, that's a really good point. Doing it as an escape room thing really makes a difference because when you go into a haunted house, you are expecting a haunting in the house. Whereas if you have an escape room, you're just expecting, you know, to solve some puzzles and get out. If that came up as a surprise where it's just like all of a sudden demons and devils needing information, you'd be like,
demon.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's the crazy thing is that we're there now. Because, you know, hell, I mean, Andrew and I growing up in Florida, you go to Halloween Horror Nights enough and you understand, like, okay, it's been about 6 or 7 steps since the last thing. It looks like we're probably going to have somebody jump out here. You gird yourself a little bit so they jump out. You don't freak out and pee yourself. But in an escape room, I mean, or any of these kinds of experiences, you don't know. Who knows when something's going to happen?
Ability to integrate that kind of detail is amazing. I was just scanning through some of the other things. They do things like they have like a kind of an inflatable silhouette of a person that you can then throw material over. And and really what they do is they have these really cool cinema quality graphics that you project on there, these motion graphics that create this very realistic sort of stuff. So anyhow, gentlemen, anybody else have a pick? Pick?
No, dude, I'm in love with this Atmos FX stuff.
Oh man, I don't know if I have a pick. I don't know. I pick the iPhone 7 Plus. It's the iPhone, but it's 7 pluses.
Yeah, is it a big deal, you think?
The camera is the first time that I've looked at an iPhone camera. I've always been like, "Oh cool, I can take this kind of picture on it." The iPhone 7 Plus camera is the first time that I've seen a camera that I'm like, "Oh, wow, this is like in still images." Video has always been amazing on iPhones. But this is the first time I've seen a still image on an iPhone that I'm like, I could put this up on Facebook and people would think it was a DSLR.
That's like, amazing.
It's not as good as a DSLR, but me with my dumb like ways of taking pictures with DSLRs probably has the same skill and will produce the same image that I can do on an iPhone 7 Plus.
Very cool.
Nice. Gentlemen, it's been after.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.